Hello and blessing. It's Bob from Hackberry House, and we're learning together every day from the book of Job in your Bible. So glad you could be here. Go get your Bible, if you will. If you haven't got it already, go get your Bible. Turn to chapter 1 in the book of Job. It's right before the book of Psalms, back in the Old Testament. Let's begin. James 5:11 says, "You have heard of the patience of Job." You've heard of the patience of Job. Now, he wasn't talking about the kind of patience that we're used to hearing about. He was talking about faithfulness under testing. Faithfulness under testing. When things happen, what do you do? How do you react? What is your response? What does God teach you? These are the kinds of things that are going to be manifested in the book of Job. I think it's going to be very important that we go through this together. Ezekiel 14 lets us know that this man Job was a real man, in case you were wondering about that. He said that when he, God, is ready to judge a nation, it won't matter if three of his best people were standing before him interceding, he's going to judge him anyway. But when he listed the three best people he could think of at the moment, he mentioned Noah. Everybody agrees, I hope you do, that there was a Noah. And Daniel, you know that there was a Daniel, right? There's no question in your mind about that. And he mentions Job. Three men, three real men that really lived and went through things, and they were there for us to learn from. Job lived in the days of Abraham, as far as we know, back a couple thousand years before Jesus, back in those kinds of days. Most of the people who have studied this have just come to that conclusion. I won't go into all those kinds of details. I think you can believe that when all these men study it and they come up with these things, that it's probably true. He probably didn't live during the days of Moses, although you're going to see sacrifices coming up here in a minute. But he lived probably right around the days of Abraham. This is a true story. Every bit of it's true. But it's in the form of a drama. It's the only book like this in the whole Bible, a drama. And it is very dramatic also. And you're going to see men in their raw emotions talking to each other. Now, it's not a debate like I called it a drama. It's also called a debate. It's not like, again, like we're used to debates, very civilized and formal. And these were just men that were talking to each other. One would talk, and then another one would talk, and they would share their ideas. And when they shared their ideas, somebody was writing it all down as they went along and was able to pass it on to us, and we're so glad that they did. Maybe Job himself, through the Holy Spirit's inspiration, was able to remember things. We don't know how the book came to us, but we do know that God, in the days of Ezekiel, honored this man, called him by name, and said he was a very righteous man. Well, he lived in the land of Uz. I'm in chapter 1, verse 1, in the land of Uz. You say, wait, that's got kind of a strange thing to it. Is there really a land called Uz? Again, we're looking to scholarship here, believing that what they have found is probably true, but they could not agree among themselves. Everybody agrees there was such a place, but they compete with each other. Some think that was in Syria, as we know it today, or as we would have known it then, a little bit different boundaries in those days. Jordan, perhaps, or Saudi Arabia. He's in the east. He's not right there in what we would call Israel today. He was to the east. He's called one of the great men of the east. His name was Job. Strangely enough, or perhaps meaningfully enough, the word means persecuted. Job means persecuted. And it says that man was blameless or upright, fearing God and turning away from evil, in the eyes of men anyway. Now, this is This is one of the key moments of the book already. He was, in the eyes of men, and I think in his own eyes, he was a very good man. Perhaps he became proud over that. We don't know. But we do know that he just did everything right. He was a good man. And he had 7 sons and 3 daughters, big family. His possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, that's verse 3, and very many servants. Now, that's how riches were measured in that day. If you had a lot of animals, you were a rich man. He was, and he was. He was very wealthy. In fact, it says in verse 3 also, that man was the greatest of all the men of the east. Again, we've already located him east of the promised land, east of Israel. Again, we're not sure exactly where in the east it was, but he was a great man, the wealthiest of that area, perhaps the most powerful, the most well-known. I mean, just everybody knew this man. Everybody knew this was a good man. This was a powerful man. You could do business with him. He would be honest with you. Just a whole lot of good reputation that he had built up. And he was a family man, as you see in verse 4. He didn't go to all the birthday parties that they had for themselves. It says his sons used to go and hold a party, a feast, in the house of each one on his day. I believe that means birthdays, special days for each family member. And he didn't go to all of them. I don't know if they invited him, a different generation, or he's busy doing business. I don't know, but he did know that they were having a big celebration. And it says they would send word and invite their 3 sisters. Now, the 7 brothers were hosting all of this, but they would invite the sisters to have a big party together. This is a happy family, honoring one another, well-trained. When the days of feasting, verse 5, had completed their cycle, Job would send word to them and consecrate them, getting up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them. Incredible man. Every time, you know, we want to bless our children and we want to pray for our children, especially when they're going through difficult times. We feel deeply for them. But here is a man, didn't wait for the difficult times to come. He was blessing his family during the good times. He knew that even in the good times, that maybe especially in the good times, we're tempted to go too far with partying, too far with pleasure. He knew that, and he wanted to be sure that they... Well, look at the end of verse 5. Perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Job was continually blessing his family in this way. Do you pray for your family's good times as well as their bad times? And what about this thing about sacrifices? Well, you know, Abraham offered sacrifices too. So you didn't have to wait till the days of Moses before sacrifices were there. They knew about this from early on in the garden. Abel introduced sacrifices, so it was going on, and so that's what he would do. So there's a little bit of an introduction then about who this man is, what his situation is, and as you read along here, try to put yourself into the story if you can. Can you relate to this man? I cannot, frankly. The family situation hasn't been like his. The man himself, not like me. Nobody's calling me any of these things that God is calling Job here. And he's a godly and good and holy man, but something's coming. He's a happy man. He's just had a magical life. Everything has just been good, prosperous, and he gave glory to God for it all, offered sacrifices, blessed his family. Do you do that? Have you done that? Can you relate to that? Things, just everything good going on in your life, but then, maybe the but then has not come to you. Maybe it will. I don't want to ask that it come, but I believe God has a way of testing all of his children, and I believe I'm talking to some of his children today. Well, thank you so much for being here. Don't forget to look over the rest of the site. We've got Spurgeon sermons and reports from the persecuted every week. We're studying Gurnall's classic on spiritual warfare right now, several days a week. And if you go through the site, you'll find hundreds of other helpful audios. You can sign up for the podcast or download the app. Let me know that you're here, if you will. I'm at bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com. We'll continue this, Lord willing, tomorrow. Bye-bye.